All right, thank you for that. Brother Pichardo, you take this. We're a little behind. I see the clock here, and I will be a little shorter than normal, but I'm still fired up about that contest, okay? And, you know, it's look, they say it's not whether you win or lose. It's how you play the game. A loser said that. Okay, I'm just... So... for all of you that whose your children, your grandchildren did not win, I just want to say this: tough. Now, next year, I think Mrs. Esposito, we should add one more contest. I'm thinking weightlifting. What do you know? Just kind of. All right, but that was fun, and you know, just because my granddaughter won doesn't make it better, but it does. Okay. So this is Baby Dedication Day, and so I want to mention something, not necessarily about babies, but I think that applies to us. When we think of babies, really, the biggest part is training. That's really the thing they need in their life, and that's really what they need from their parents. They need training. Of course, love is part of all of that. You have to love them, and you naturally do, but there needs to be a teaching and training in their upbringing. And really, it helps set them on the path to the course of their life. Now, not everybody grew up in a good family. Some people grew up in families where maybe there was some issues or whatever, and they can still make it. But it's nice if we as parents have our children and kind of put them on a course that we don't put extra obstacles in their way. We kind of clear the path for them and put them on the right path. We try to teach them many things. We'll teach them practical things. We'll teach them things about character. And hopefully you'll teach them things about spirituality. But as God's people, we are also God's children. And as God's children, He has lessons for us to learn. And this morning we're going to talk about one and hit it from a few different angles that God wants us to get that really... is also a key one. This fell. Brother Pichardo, can you hold that? Which is also a key one when it comes to how we are training our children. And I'll share that with you in a minute. The book of Deuteronomy is really a retelling of all that the children of Israel had went through and all that they had done leading up to this point. God had wanted them to go into the promised land when He took them out of Egypt, and He had brought them actually up to the promised land one time, and they rebelled and they did not go in. And so they spent 40 years spinning their wheels in the wilderness and dying off until that young generation, 18 or under, has grown. And so if you look at the group of them that is there, the oldest would have been, if 18 and older, the oldest one would have been 58. And so that group, 58 and under, they're getting ready to go to the promised land. And so Deuteronomy is taking and telling, retelling the stories and also giving them some warnings and preparing them for now that they are going to cross into the promised land for what they should do. He is teaching them really a very key concept that's going to really determine whether or not they are going to be successful in the land. What waited in the land? Well, there was battles to fight in the land. They were going to have to fight and get rid of those that were in the land and take it over. And then there would constantly be battles there. And then they were going to have to set up their society. And then they were going to need to go forward. And God tells them that the biggest thing they need to understand is that if they're going to be successful, they need to obey God's law. That was the whole determining factor. Not if they were good fighters. And by the way, some of them were good fighters. I believe, I think it's one of the tribes I like is Benjamin. When you read through the Old Testament, Benjamin's guys are always, they're not the biggest group, but they're the toughest. If you're going to a fight, you want these guys on your side. And all these different things. But He says those aren't really the determining factor. The key factor to whether they would get into the land, and once they got into the land, whether they would remain in the land and be successful in the land, would be, are they heeding and obeying God's laws? If not, they would be defeated. If not, things would not go well. If not, they would not be prosperous or blessed. They would live a defeated life. And as we read through the history in the Old Testament, you see that that's exactly what happened. They did not listen. They did not obey. And instead of being victorious, they lost a lot of those battles. So where was the problem when they started to lose? Was the problem with God? No. The problem was with them. The same holds true in our life. As we look at the type of life we live and we look at how things are going in our life, if you feel there is a problem, if we feel that things are not going well, is the problem with God? No, the problem is never with God. The tough thing we need to do is we need to look in the mirror and realize the problem is usually within ourselves. And the biggest problem we have in our life and the biggest thing that brings things into our life that derails our life or would cause us to live, if you're a Christian, what the Bible would kind of refer to as a defeated Christian life, would be the fact that we are not obedient to His word. When we are raising our children, and by the way, this has kind of been thrown out in our society, and that's not the message today. It could have been because we don't teach our children to obey. Our little ones, when they're little, they don't have an option. Okay, well, little Mijo doesn't want to do this. Little Mijo doesn't have a choice. Okay, he's going to now. You teach them that when they're younger so that when they're older, they kind of learn that, hey, there are laws and there are things we are needing to follow. But a three-year-old should not be running the family. Okay, anyhow, back to our regularly scheduled message. So if the point is, though, if that is good for our children, because I know sometimes there's parents, we want the children to obey and do right, but the parents feel that they don't have to obey God and do right. And that does not work for us. If we're telling the children that we bring them to church and we want them to obey God and learn, if we are not obeying God, you know what example they're going to probably follow. And so obedience is for all of us. And that's what God is telling us. He told them that the problem would be if they disobey Him. Now, He said, I'm laying it out for you. If you obey, things will go well. If you disobey, it will not go well. And so the choice was theirs. What keeps you and I from victory? Disobedience. For whatever reason, we sometimes choose to believe God enough to get salvation, but we don't want to believe God enough to gain victory in our life. I heard this statement once, many years ago. The shortest distance between you and the life that God wants you to have and that you want to have is complete obedience to God and His word. You see, we want things in our life, and sometimes we go about trying to attain those things apart from God. And the thing is, we'll never get those things. Because when we try to attain them apart from God, we're going to try to attain them through methods which will not get us to there. People want to have joy in their life. They want to be happy. And so we think if we are rich, we will be joyful and happy. That is not necessarily true. Right. We're trying to get something that God offers, but we are trying to get it through a vehicle that God has never designed to get us there. And so that's the thing. We need to be committed to obeying God. So if we're going to do that, then we need to learn a few things about obedience. And I think I have six of them here. And you look at the clock and say, man, six of them, they won't be long, okay? Here are six things I want us to understand about how we can learn obedience. They're right in the scripture that Pastor Pichardo read for us. We want to notice, first of all, His commands, and that's what we're obeying. His commands are incorruptible. Look at verse 1 and 2. Now, therefore, hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you, for to do them, that ye may live. And go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. You shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. That is the problem there. He said, I want you to keep my words, and there's two things you cannot do. You cannot add to my words, and you cannot take from my words. They are perfect and right just as they are. They don't need our help. That happens way too often. By the way, if you look in the New Testament, you look at the Pharisees, they may not have specifically added to Scripture, but they were adding all these little things to do in their interpretation of the Scripture, and it was just nothing but utter nonsense. And it caused them to live a life thinking that because they're doing these silly little things, they were okay with God when they did not obey Him in the straightforward things. But we need to understand that God's word is incorruptible and it is perfect just as it is stated, and we don't need to take away from it and we don't need to add from to it. Well, what do I mean by that? Do you think, I mean, am I going to get a pencil and I'm going to erase it? No. But it's like the story in Jeremiah. Jeremiah was there, and I think it was King Jehoiakim, but they found some words that Jeremiah had written, which were scripture. And the king is sitting there, and some of the guys are reading the scripture, and it's wintertime, and they had the fireplace going. And he didn't like what was written, so he got a knife out, and he cut some of the parts that he didn't like, and he threw it into the fire. By the way, that didn't change the fact that they were still there. It didn't change the fact that they were still true. And it didn't change the fact that the punishment that Jeremiah said would come if they did not obey God came. Yeah. Now, we do this all the time. We think sometimes that our way is better. And well, you know, I know what God says, but this is just how I feel. And it doesn't work that way. Right. That just sounded like, look, you can listen to radio, and I listen to radio when I'm driving around, and I listen to some of the, and you know what? Sometimes it's like, these guys are just goofballs, and I turn it off. Okay? I want to stick with Scripture. Well, you know, how do we feel? And feelings are important, but if our feelings conflict with Scripture, your feelings need to be set to the side. We need to stick with the Scripture, because the Scripture is incorruptible. We always think we know better. Let me prove it to you. Men, we don't like instructions. You ever put something together? It's like, I don't have time to read that book. Come on. And by the way, you know, you buy something from IKEA, it's in 75 different languages, and not one of them is English. And it's like, you know, and it's got Borg J, some weird name, and it's like, what is that? Now, I do like, nowadays, some of them are good. I look for the quick start guide. Are you with me? I want to see four pictures, and I want to do four things, and I want it to work. I have time to read instructions. And so what we do, it's like, I'm a guy. I don't need instructions. I'll do it my own way, and we have extra pieces. Oh, yeah. It's like, wow, that was nice of them. Nice. Maybe that's why the bike squeals, okay? But we don't like, and so we're like that as humans. We don't like instructions. We'll figure it out on our own. But we have to understand God's word's incorruptible. We can't add or take away from it. And I want to encourage you, number two, His commands are also beneficial. Look at verse 3 and 4. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did because of Baal Peor. For all the men that followed Baal Peor, the Lord thy God hath destroyed them from among you. But ye that did cleave unto the Lord your God are alive, every one of you this day. Now let me explain that story, and I'll be brief. There was a Balaam went, and he was brought in by King Balak of Moab to curse the Israelites. He was afraid of them, and he's like, "Come curse them for me." And God would not allow him to curse them. Remember the donkey that talked? Okay. By the way, the donkey was the smartest person in that story, if you know what I'm talking about. But he keeps telling Balaam, "Curse him, curse him." But God won't let me curse him. But here's what Balaam did. Balaam took Balak after it was all done. He goes, God won't curse them, but if you can get them to disobey God, they'll curse themselves. One of the things God told them is don't intermarry with the people of the land because they worship pagan deities, bad pagan deities, deities whose worship included the killing of small infants, not unlike a lot of our senators. And so they were not to do that. So you know what they did? They sent the pretty girls out. They were getting the guys and like, hey, come to our feast. And it was a feast of pagan idolatry. And these people were getting hooked up together. And God said, I told you not to do that. And they paid the consequences for it. He says, do you guys remember that story? And then he says in verse 4, those of you that didn't get involved with that, those of you that trusted me and just did what I said, it went well for you. But the ones that didn't listen, didn't go well for them. That's the determining factor in life. You want things to go well for you? Follow God. You want things to be, say, well, will my life be perfect? Let me encourage you. No, it won't be. Will I still have problems? Just like everybody else. But your problems will not be self-inflicted. The problems you have will be the problems that God will get you through. It's not because you've thrown them on yourself. You see, when we obey Scripture, it keeps us from things that would hurt us and would not be beneficial in our lives. So what's the point? God's word is beneficial. When we obey Him, things go better. See, we just have this tendency like, you know, the Scripture, it's so restrictive, it keeps me from things. It doesn't keep you from things. The things it keeps you from are the things that would be hurtful in life, not the things that would be helpful. You think of the Ten Commandments. Thou shall not. What's the benefit there? God's telling you to stay away from things that would be hurtful for you. Thou shalt. God is pushing you to do things that would be helpful for you. Scripture is beneficial. You want the kind of life, you say, I have problems in my life. And I could say get in line, we all do. But I have a lot of issues going on in my life, and it just seems like there's a lot of drama. Let me just tell you this. Let's line our lives up with God's word, and some of those clouds will start to part, and some of it will start to clear up. They're beneficial. Next, his commands are noticeable. Verse 5 to 8. He says, behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments. These are the Lord thy God commanded me that ye should do it in the land where you go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear of these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great? Who hath God so nigh unto them? And you can read it on and it goes forward. What it's saying is when we live a life of Scripture and we try to do well, people that don't know God, they're going to notice it for the good. They're going to notice this and say, man, there is something different about you. Noticeable. When I was a teenager, I was not a Christian and had all my issues, kicked out the whole nine yards. And I was nothing but a little punk, and my family all knew it, uncles, aunts, all that. And I remember when I got right with God, and I remember I was going off to Bible college, and they actually had a little party for me. And one of my uncles, who I wasn't really close to him, but he goes, Steve, I've been telling all my friends, my nephew's got his act together, and he's going on the road. I'm like, well, that's great. Now, I don't know. He didn't know a lot, but you know what he noticed? He said, there is something different about that kid. My mom got saved, and I was there when the pastor's wife came and witnessed to her. And as she was talking to her, she says, I don't know what's going on. And she pointed at me and said, but there's something different about that kid. I mean, I had all kinds of stuff in my room. It was not good. And it was like we had an exorcism. And that room was clean. And she'd come back to her like, what happened? When I was out all hours of the night on Friday and Saturday, now I wasn't out all hours of the night. There was something noticeable. By the way, when you obey God, you'll be different, but not in a hypocritical way. Like, look at me. You'll be different in a way. It's like, man, what is God doing in their life? I want a piece of that. It's noticeable. Number 4, his commands are transferable. He says in verse 9, only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thine heart all the days of thy life. Here it is. But teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. Now he's saying is, you know what we want? We want the Scripture not to just be in your life. We want the Scripture to be in your sons and daughters' lives so that it'll be in their sons and daughters' life, and it will transfer and go down the line. That's what God wants. He wants his word. He wants Christianity transferred. How does that happen? Listen, there's one thing we ought to give our families. They know, look, there's one thing. When you, as a parent, you know you're not perfect. Now, I'm a lot closer than you are. Just kidding. We're not perfect. And our children know it. But you know what? One thing they ought to know about us? They tried to be faithful to God. They took us they pushed us to the Bible. They took us to church. They tried to do these things. The scripture was important to them. Isn't that something we want to give our kids? This is baby dedication day. I always joke around. I'm like, man, I can't wait for the kids to get, you know, I told a couple, I said, man, once your kid gets dedicated, they'll sleep through the night. They won't cry anymore. They won't even mess up their diapers anymore. No, that's not true. They're going to do all of those things. Okay, but what we're saying, I'm going to give you a little hint here so you kind of get it since you're already stuck. You know, the dedication isn't as much for the children as it is for the parents. Yeah. What the parents are saying is, I want God in this child's life. I can help you with that. Try to live a life of obedience. That will help your children more than anything else. You can transfer. Our world tells us now, you know, little Yahoo needs to be whatever he wants. And I've mentioned this, and I'm not for transgenderism. Let me just throw that out there in case I've not made that clear. And I don't hate people that are transgendered. I feel sad for them because it's not scientifically true. You know, well, and I mentioned it last week. One of the ladies go, well, you know, this actress, when my child was 3, he said, I want to be a girl, so I've raised him as a girl. Well, I guess Levi's going to be raised as Batman because that's who he thinks he is. Okay, they're 3. They don't know any better. We're supposed to train them like, hey, Christianity is real. Let's follow the Lord. Lastly, we'll stop here. Number 5, his commands are authoritative. His commands are authoritative. Verse 11. And you came near, this is talk about when they were on Mount Horeb. And you came near and stood under the mountain, and the mountains burned with fire unto the midst of the heaven with darkness and clouds and thick darkness. And the Lord spake unto you out of the midst of the fire. Ye heard the voice of the words, but saw no similitude, but only heard a voice. And he declared unto you his covenant, which he commanded you to perform, even 10 commandments. And he wrote them upon 2 tables of stone. What do I mean by that? You know whose words and laws they are? They're God's. Yeah. We forget that. Now, if I could, I could get up and I can tell you something and it could not be true. Like, for instance, I thought the Rams would win the Super Bowl last year. Okay? I was wrong. And that's probably the only time I've been wrong in a really long time. I was right. I said the Dodgers will not lose the World Series this year. They didn't get there. I was right, okay? But we say, but you know what? Whatever God says is absolutely 100% spot on right. You know why? Because the authority of God flows behind what he says. His words are true because God is true. His words are right because God is right. His words should be obeyed because God should be obeyed. His authority. And so this is not something we can argue about. What's the whole point? The whole point is this. Let's just learn the lesson that we really should be teaching our children. Let's obey God. We want our children to obey, I'll be honest with you. I don't, even with grandkids, I know I'm a grandfather and I do all the grandfather stuff, but I just don't do well with disobedience. It's like, come here. Don't do that. That doesn't fly at our house. Okay, like, you're going to do that. I want them to learn how to obey. I wish my wife would. No, I'm kidding. She says, really? I wish you would. Well, that's a story for another day, all right? But isn't that what we want? We want them to, you know, if your children's running off somewhere, hey, come here. You want them to go to school? You don't want them to get demerits? I mean, I was the king. I got straight N's and U's in my conduct. That didn't make my mom happy. But that's what we want. We want obedience. But you know what? We are children of God. You know what God wants for us? To love him enough and to trust him enough to just say, you know what? You're God. I'm just going to follow what you say. There's so much good that if we do that. Let's stand together this morning. Every head bowed and every eye closed for a minute.